640 Toronto presents Think Tank. The breaking stories you care about. Facts and opinions that get you through the day. Now, let's meet the guests.
All right, it's great to have Anna Bailao on, as always, former Toronto Deputy Mayor, mayoral candidate last spring as well. Thanks for giving us your time this morning, Anna.
Good morning.
And Anthony Fury is with us as well, a columnist and also a former Toronto mayoral candidate. Nice to have you.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning. Let's start here with the Zamir trial. It's a lot to unpack. It's got, to be honest, it's got some politics in the mix because of what politicians said when he was not only arrested, but he was also given bail on first-degree murder charges. But I think we're digging down mostly on what the chief of police said yesterday. I'm going to let you hear his clip, let the audience hear it as well, with his reaction to Zamir's acquittal in the first-degree murder trial of the death of Constable Jeffrey Northrup.
While we respect the judicial process and appreciate the work of everyone involved in this very difficult case, I share the feelings of our members who were hoping for a different outcome. Now, we will come together as a policing family during this difficult time. Every Toronto police officer should go home to their family at the end of each day after serving and protecting.
Okay, it's the middle part there, Anthony, that I think has people a little bit concerned. If you respect the judicial process and appreciate the work of the 12 citizens handling that particular case, hoping for a different outcome, to me, has a lot of gray area there. You wanted a different outcome for a man that the jury and the judge clearly believed was innocent of first-degree murder. I think it's a bit of a dangling participle, if you will, from Chief Demkew there. What do you think?
Greg, there's no one out there who backs the police more than I do, who wants to hire hundreds of more officers. I'm with them all the way. In this case, I'm a little frustrated here, Greg. After this incident happened, my policing sources, so of course people who are very pro-police, were communicating to people their understanding of what happened on that day, what actually happened. And I think I would have sided with the jury and with the judge. I don't think that the first degree murder charge was justified. And there are cases when it is justified. And when people intentionally bring violence against police officers, they must be prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law. But what happened here did not fit that. So that's what's so frustrating about all of this. And I would like a review of processes in the incident to make sure this tragedy doesn't happen again. But this father who was caught in this situation, the evidence did not support him facing a first-degree murder charge. So the whole thing, the whole approach to this was very unfortunate.
To follow there, if you're Demkew's senior advisor, handles his media relations, Anthony, would you advise him strongly not to make that statement that you were hoping for a different outcome? Because it needs clarification as to when were you hoping for it? When you woke up Sunday morning and all the testimony was in, or years ago?
Yeah, it's an unfortunate statement. He should have left that part out, absolutely.
Anna, how do you view it?
Well, Anthony, this is such a tragic case from day one, right? I think that from day one, you know, you're left with a police constable that, you know, was killed in the line of duty. And this has a huge impact on the entire force. We know when something happens to one of the officers, all officers feel it, and obviously the family as well. And then you're left with Umar that for 3 years has been living through this. So this is, there's no winners in this. There's no winners. Nobody, and I think that came through yesterday in both testimonies, that I think people felt that there's no winners in here. I think Anthony raised what many, many people are raising, which is actually the Crown's strategy to go at this after looking at the evidence. Because we've been, the decision was not a surprise, I think, for many people, given what had been published over the last few days in the media. I think people were expecting this decision, and that's why there's so many questions around the Crown strategy to go right into first degree murder and the chances to have that succeed and to prove that beyond the reasonable doubt was so low that it questions that strategy as well. I think that the other issue is, you know, not only the words that you talked about that Chief Demkew, but also the words of the judge that is putting into question the testimony of the other officers. So I think that is something else that he'll have to deal with eventually to preserve, you know, the integrity of the force as well. That is going to keep coming up in the next few days, I'm quite sure.
And I think, that point I was going to raise, but I'm so glad you did. Her quote, Justice Anne Molloy at the Ontario Superior Court, and we didn't realize this till Friday because this had to be because of publication ban rules, a whole nother topic, Justice Anne Molloy said to the jury, you must also consider whether there has been collusions between those witnesses. And she's referencing, Anna, the three officers. I mean, I think just on principle and by design, these three officers must be investigated at minimum and interviewed about whether or not they had their own individual thoughts and stories or whether they colluded on their testimony. That has to be done by police here, I think, now.
Yeah, I think now it's healing. You need to heal the force. You need to heal this. But also there has to be, a review of exactly what happened. And it's very possible that they interpreted the events in exactly the same way. That is a possibility. But I think that the next step, I think that needs to happen. There's no way around it. In order to protect the integrity of the force is to have a review of exactly what happened.
Anthony, to follow up on that publication ban thing, and again, glad Anna made that point, I often think sometimes we get more rumor and innuendo because of a publication ban in Canada than we would otherwise. If people want to make the argument, hey, we don't want to be America, we don't want cameras in the courtroom, we don't want trials to become circuses and people performing for people watching, okay, fine. But a publication ban in a case like this, I laid out earlier the tweets that Doug Ford and John Tory had, and while I don't think they should be commenting on those things, Doug Ford labeled Zamir a criminal when he was given bail, and I'm like, that's bad news. He's an alleged criminal, but he sure ain't a criminal. I look at that, Anthony, and I think this is so much more trouble than it's worth to not allow the public to know details, because that's how rumors get started.
And especially because when someone is charged with first degree murder of a police officer and then they're granted bail the next day, the public loses faith in the system, and the public is also afraid for their safety, because this seems like a violent, intentional murderer who's just been let loose. Why did that happen? So we deserve to know more information, which would help assuage our concerns. Because I think, Greg, to your point, the information that you and I were getting, that, we can't say on air at the time, that helps answer that question why. But I think it goes back to what Anna said of the prosecutor's strategy. First degree murder, there's really no reasonable chance of conviction there. So why did you do that? And that whole decision to go ahead with that charge is what has brought us to this point where we're having to have this whole big conversation right now that has opened up or will continue to open up, I think, some tension and frustration for people.
Anthony Fury, Anna Bylaw with us on Think Tank. Go ahead, Anna. Go ahead.
I just wanted to add something to on the ban and the release of information. I think it's more important now than ever, just because we live in this time that you're either with me or against me. And I think that if there's a group that is very much in that case is the police, right? There's this, we're in times that, there's people that are always against the police and people that are, always in favor of the police, and it's, you're either or. And sometimes, you heard Anthony, I appreciated, he came on and said, listen, I always support the police, but in this case, there was something wrong. People need to have the space to say something like that without being judged. And the lack of information that sometimes there's out there with these cases, in times like we're living today, it is very bad.
I think you absolutely, in a social media world where it's really hard to, it just is, it's the Wild West on the internet, it's really hard to police. You could see something through that you thought was libelous. But Anna, there's the point. I'm a college student when the Carla Homolka trial is happening prior to the Bernardo trial, and there was a publication ban on Homolka, and that wasn't even lifted until the Bernardo trial ended. So it took years, and then all of a sudden you're like, why did she get such a slap on the wrist for these heinous crimes? Well, had it been happening in real time and we were able to see it transpire in the media, it would make more sense and there would have been more public outrage. And that's a pre-internet, pre-social media world where that happens. So I often think they're more harm than good, these publication bans.
Yeah, I agree 100%.
Let's go to this video that went a little viral on the weekend, but I think it speaks to where we're at in society. I think if we have friends that work in the retail industry, they tell us all about it. A man tried to stop a robbery at an LCBO, and I'll play you some of the sound. There were three people trying to steal, 100 liquor bottles from this store on Saturday night. Here's some of the sounds from this confrontation.
Let it go. Let him go, sir. Let him go. Let it go. Let him go. Let him go, sir. Let him go, sir. Back off. Sir, let it go.
Okay, and you heard somebody yell, "It's not worth it." You heard somebody yell earlier that one of the three attempting to steal all these bottles had a knife. Issue there, Anthony, is beyond the obvious that it's risky for this person to, you know, take on three robbers at the same time. And the LCBO employees, I understand they're trained not to do anything. I understand they're trained, hey, let them walk out of the store. But my goodness, what a world we have, because I really think we have normalized theft. We have normalized shoplifting. We have normalized gangs, you know, using hammers on jewelry stores and running out of malls with thousands of dollars of jewelry. And I don't know a way back right now.
But listen to what you just said, Greg. It's risky to tell someone not to shoplift. I mean, that's, you're totally right. That's the scenario we're in right now. And that's shocking, because I think the people of Toronto, I know, they want to flip it around. They want the bad guys to think it's risky to try and pull a stunt like that. The most damning thing about that, look, because we know people are stealing from the LCBO left, right, and center. I thought we were seeing a decline, because I've personally witnessed several loss prevention officer takedowns where they've actually thwarted this. That was a good thing. And I should record those and post them so they could go viral, so the bad guys would learn. No, I'm serious.
Yeah,
we need
visual
cues out there. But the most frustrating part is to hear the LCBO employee nonstop say, let them go, let them go. Why didn't the five LCBO employees watching, you know, get physically closer, say, put those down, the police are coming, put those down, and at least do a little bit more? I am not expecting them to, you know, do a pylon and attack them, but why are we not seeing more? Because right now, the public's really unhappy with this descent into lawlessness, and people want to feel like fairness is happening, because it's not just a theft against the store, it's a theft against the taxpayer. I don't like the fact that my Loblaws increasingly looks like Fort Knox. Every month, it's a less hospitable place in terms of all these things they're putting up for security. It's not a pleasant scene out there, and we got to turn it around.
And I think every parent listening who's got a, you know, 17, 18, 19-year-old working in retail, especially you're that young, you often get a lot of lousy hours. You get late nights. You're just put into a bit of a position of jeopardy. We all have worked retail, and we all thought, okay, here's the plan. If we spot somebody taking a sweater out of the Gap or a CD out of a music store. But I just think the game's changed so much since then, and we don't have a great solution for it.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, the employee and the people that were screaming to let it go, they were just concerned about the immediate safety of the gentleman, that it was clearly very frustrated with these people thinking that they could just go ahead and steal without having any consequences. And I think this is the root of it, is that people are doing this because the gain is more than the consequences that they'll get. Even if they get arrested, they'll probably be out the next day. And there's no consequences for actions like this. And there's a huge gain. There's an underground market. So everybody that also goes into these underground markets to probably purchase, a lot of these purchases are part of the problem as well. And people just feel like there's no consequences, you know, even if they got caught, because everybody knows there's cameras out there. And these people, the fact that they just walk into the store, put it in a bag, and walk out. So imagine the freedom that they feel, and the sense that there won't be the consequences won't be so bad, that they feel like it's worth to do that. And I think that's what needs to change. It's those consequences for the people doing this job.
Well said, Anthony. I'm getting a woman texting us right now, listening. I was at a liquor store on the Danforth. Same thing happened Friday night at dinner time. They let them just walk in, swipe five bottles of liquor, Stacey writes, and leave. So like, it's all over the place.
Yeah, and it was at a Danforth one that I did see a takedown of someone doing a theft. We clearly need to see more of that. I mean, what I want to see going viral in this city right now is not people shooting up heroin on the subway. I want to see a viral video of an officer saying, stop that, and the person stops and they're kicked out. We want to see viral videos of a takedown of someone stealing from the LCBO, not a viral video of them getting away with it. We got to change the narrative. Right now, we're more scared of what's going to happen to us. We need the bad guys to be scared of what's going to happen to them. But Anna's right. It's consequence-free right now.
All right, heavy stuff. I want to play a clip from Ottawa. This happened right in front of Parliament Hill on Saturday afternoon, a march, a protest, whatever we are calling them now. It's got basically praise for what transpired on October 7th. This isn't about Gaza or the Palestinians or Israel's aggression or anything like that. Have a listen to what's in front of our Parliament buildings.
When I see from the river to the sea, you reply with Palestine is almost free because our resistance attacks are proof that we are almost free. October 7th is proof that we are almost free. Long live October 7th. Long live the resistance. Long live the Intifada. Long live every form of resistance.
Difficult to hear. Anna, it's praise of October 7th. It's right in front of our Parliament buildings. The Prime Minister tweeted out about it last night around 7 o'clock. But I just feel like we're in this endless, we're like a skipping record on a turntable of words. And we're not acting on this.
Yeah, it's very disturbing. This is not about free speech. This is about hate speech. That's what it is. And again, here we are talking about consequences free, mm-hmm. but nothing is happening. And that's where people are getting more and more frustrated and wanting to take things sometimes into their own hands, because here we are clearly witnessing hate speech, anti-Semitic speech, and it seems like people are just, you know, going about it without any consequences whatsoever. And so I think it is important that we speak up about it, the politicians speak up about it, but most important that there's consequences for these people. And we need our legislators, we need our enforcement to act so that people don't feel like that they can just go about their days saying things like this without any consequences at all.
Anthony, there's been so much juxtaposed too, because I think many people, regardless of who they vote for and regardless of ideology, did look at the Freedom Convoy in February 22. And after 4 weeks, they said, you know what? It's enough. You've made your point. You got to let people go from point A to B. They can't be scared going to shopping malls. They can't be tied up even for 10 minutes in traffic. That was 4 weeks. And by the way, we can't have any offensive symbols, a swastika, a Nazi flag, people messing with Terry Fox's monument. And that was 4 weeks, Anthony. And we're 7 months into this. And this issue, Canadians can really not influence like we could. Issues to do with the Freedom Convoy. It's really problematic. There's that juxtapose and hypocrisy exists.
So one of the latest reports on October 7th is that a number of the survivors of that mass rape and assault event have committed suicide in the past couple of months because of the trauma that they have and because of, you know, how broken they and their families have been from that. This is an incident, you know, comparable to the horrors of the Rwanda genocide when one actually studies what happened. And this is perpetrated, of course, by Hamas, which is a designated terrorist organization. So if you're taking to the streets and celebrating that, you are raising your hand and identifying yourself as someone who is a booster of a terror organization. So as you said, Greg, it really has something totally different to do with talking about your concerns for Palestinian human rights or what have you. You are saying, I want to, you know, aid and abet perhaps terror. So Anna's right. We need to get a much more robust response here. For people who are glorifying some of the worst human abuse atrocities we've seen in decades.
What shifts this, Anthony? I'm going to come back and ask Anna the same question, but we've talked about this again. This is the record player skipping. You sat with the Toronto Police Chief, Myron Demkew, and he said, oh, we're a little slow to react. Boy, are we going to react now. You're like we're going to be different about this. They're not. No one in Ottawa is. No one at the federal level is either. And we're 7 months in, and we're seeing what's happening on college campuses, Columbia specifically in the States. I can't get somebody to explain to me why they're sure that that won't happen here in the weeks to come.
Yeah, and I always said, you know, if you normalize, say, you know, graffiti on a synagogue, the next thing is a brick through the window. And oh, wait a second, that just happened the other day. So we do see the escalation happening. We need to act now on legal planes to stop the escalation. That's what we need to do. People need to face the person who put the brick through. You know, there's cameras all over the place these days. That person needs to be charged. They need to be arrested. Those sort of things need to happen.
Anna, how do you look at it?
You know what? I think it's right. It's the legal action that needs to be taken. And we've basically have seen the escalation of this issue. Independently from on what side you sit on this, what was said at that protest, you know, glorifying the events of October 7th, that has nothing to do with what is happening, you know, to the people of Gaza right now. I think, you know, you can't put these two together. Once you go against your neighbor here in Canada, people that are Canadians, many of them born in here, that is hate. That is anti-Semitism. So we have to understand that independently of how you feel towards, you know, what is happening, and you know, some people want to cease fire right away. Some other people don't want that support. You know, people have the freedom to have those discussions. They cannot have the freedom to have this sort of hate speech and to glorify violence in our country.
Amazingly frustrating. We'll keep talking, try and get it to a better place. Anna Anthony, thank you for the time today.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Anna Bailo, Anthony Fury.